The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Chris Biondi has made a pretty nice life for himself. He has a stable, fulfilling job with great benefits, a family he can support with a salary, and
I have $250,000 in retirement. And most of the people that I graduated from high school with don't have a quarter of anything in retirement.
So what's the story behind his success? It all came down to one decision, Chris says. He became a plumber.
The work is satisfying. I can drive through two states and a major city and point out all the things that I helped build or even design. Plumbing may not have been my dream job, but it's not a job I hate. It's a job I enjoy immensely.
Now he works as a trainer for people looking to join his union. But with each passing year, he's noticing a decline in young people hoping to enter the field. And Bureau of Labor Statistics data shows that as more and more baby boomers are set to retire, the shortage of plumbers, along with pipe fitters and steam fitters, is only predicted to worsen.
The official data points to an average of about 42,600 vacancies a year over the coming decade.
That's my colleague Enda Curran, who covers the U.S. economy for Bloomberg. He's looked at the numbers and recently started wondering, where have all the young plumbers gone? It's a labor problem that could impact everything from America's infrastructure to its economy. Today on the show, the mighty and misunderstood American plumber, and why the fate of this corner of the labor market matters so much. From Bloomberg News, this is The Big Take. I'm Sarah Holder. So, Enda, you cover the U.S. economy, you're covering labor shortages, I'm assuming in lots of industries. What motivated you to explore the situation in the plumbing industry?
Well, it's one of the parts of the economy that's so critical to everything around us. And when you speak to business people or when you speak to companies, they make the point that there just aren't enough young people learning the skilled trades anymore. So that could be plumbing, that could be being an electrician, that could be whatever it is that involves your hands. And the point is, these are critical to making the economy work. Plumbing goes to the core of so much of what we do every day, from having clean drinking water through to getting homes and construction projects finished on time.
And you recently visited a school training young plumbers outside of DC. Can you tell us about that visit?
It was really interesting. So I went to two plumbing schools. One of the schools I went to was offering for the first time a pre-apprenticeship program. This was in Arundel in Maryland, to get young people involved on a career path for plumbing. The thing is, they had 18 places on offer, but they only received 3 applicants. And I stood in the lab, a very well-equipped modern laboratory with the instructor, 3 gathered around a bench, but all the other benches were empty. And it speaks to the idea that young kids aren't necessarily looking at this as a potential career path at the moment.
And why were there all those empty seats? What are some of the barriers to entry to complete the schooling and become a plumber?
So speaking to the people in the industry, there seems to be a stigma around becoming a plumber. Young people consider it to be tough, dirty work. They're not really excited by the prospect of fixing toilets all day long. But when you speak to the plumbers, the educators and those in practicing the trade, they say there's so much more to it than that. It's not all about lying on your back with a wrench all day. The work can be varied.
Chris Biondi, the plumber turned trainer, actually told us about a visit he recently made to a middle school where he tried to counter these misconceptions about his job.
I went to a middle school and I said, who knows what a plumber does? And a young lady stood up and said, a plumber cleans toilets. And so I was able to run through a slideshow and say, this is what we were in this part of the Smithsonian and we built this part of the National Zoo. And things that not just a kid would enjoy, but anybody would enjoy seeing those pictures of of something that's not there and then is suddenly an exhibit at the zoo or an improved exhibit at the Smithsonian or the Washington Monument after the earthquake needing repairs. So those kind of things are relatable to anybody. But it's important for us to make clear that what we do is not what people think we do.
The work can be satisfying to see a project being completed, to see a problem being resolved. So it's rewarding in that respect. And it's also financially rewarding. I mean, you get a good salary. Obviously, salary depends where you are around the country, like every industry. But the salaries can be well paid and offers pretty stable employment.
Can you give us a sense of the scale of the shortage and what it might translate into in terms of overall losses in the industry?
There is one estimate out there that it cost the economy about $33 billion in 2022. In other words, the country will be short of about 550,000 plumbers by 2027. So, you know, those are not immaterial figures for the US at a time, of course, when worker shortages are being sort of blamed for part of the inflation story, given what's been happening, wage pressures over the past few years. It's not insignificant. And I think that's why there is a big push on now from these construction groups and from others that the government and state governments and education authorities need to do more to encourage more young people to try and get into the skilled trades and offset some of these pressures.
But as you mentioned, plumbers are not the only skilled laborers that the country is lacking. Construction, electricity workers, we're seeing shortages in those industries as well.
Well, so you're right. Across construction more broadly, there are shortages of hundreds of thousands of workers in that sector. And when you speak to the people involved in construction, they are screaming out for either more skills training or better allocation of existing labor. Or on the other hand, of course, they want to speed up legal migration. But plumbing is pretty important because plumbing are the people that you go to get the water flowing. You know, if there's ever a natural disaster, one of the first things that gets impacted is clean drinking water. One of the first sets of workers that you need are plumbers. So that's why they are so critical to the shortages in the construction industry.
After the break, how a shortage of trained plumbers could potentially delay the green energy transition and what the industry is trying to do to shore up its ranks for the future.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
We're back. I've been speaking with Bloomberg's Enda Curran about the struggle to recruit younger workers into the plumbing profession. He says it affects wider swaths of the economy than you might initially think.
First of all, the plumber shortage at the moment is being cited as an issue in terms of projects being completed and completed on time. If you cannot get the workers, you cannot get the plumbers, then construction work cannot be done on time and it will become more expensive. Costs will be overblown. That's a common complaint. So that's a kind of a day-to-day on the construction side. If we have a section of the economy continuing to demand very high fees, well, that does feed through to broader services inflation, and that does keep alive the idea that inflation will remain sticky in certain parts of the economy, even if the Fed has to bring down interest rates. On the other side of the economy, we have this big structural change going on at the moment for cleaner, greener energy, for more sustainable energy. I think when we speak about the green energy transition, we probably think about solar panels, we think about electric cars. We probably don't think enough about the water aspect of it, the irrigation aspect of it, and the role that plumbers are going to have to play in it. So the green energy transition has at its core smarter homes, more energy efficient homes, water efficient homes, smarter irrigation, sustainable practices, smarter water heaters, for example, all of this. And all of that goes to plumbing at the core of it. And we're going to need young people who both know how to design and implement these new environmentally sustainable plumbing practices, or else governments and all of us will not meet the green targets that are being set for us.
Besides Super Mario, are there any positive role models for aspiring young plumbers?
That's a very interesting point, actually. I think Super Mario is probably out there as number one. When I went out to that school in Lanham, I will say there was an old vintage poster that I mentioned in the article. It was a vintage poster on the wall. I was quite struck by it from many decades ago. And it had it was a plumber in an overalls with a wrench in his hand, standing on top of a globe with a crowd of admiring onlookers looking up to him. And the tagline on that was, "The plumber protects the health of the nation." So that's not quite Super Mario, but that poster was in there to inspire the young students who go into that school that a job in plumbing isn't just a good job and well paid, you're also contributing towards the economic health of the nation.
And when it comes to motivating young people to go into the trade, Chris Biondi, who we heard from earlier, is working on it. As the training director for a plumbing apprenticeship committee in Washington, D.C., that trains over 250 apprentices a year, he says he actually uses the fact that so many older plumbers are retiring as a motivator for people considering the industry.
I use it as a pitch point because the shortage means that my job is not going anywhere. As a plumber, my job's not going anywhere. As a trainer of plumbers, it's not going anywhere. Job security is happening because of the shortage. But I would rather, I don't want that to be the end game. It can't be the end game because things that need to keep working are going to stop working and there won't be someone to fix it. There are things that need to be built properly are not going to be built properly or not be built at all because of the shortage. And it's all the trades, they're all suffering.
What do you say to young people considering the field?
That it's hard and it can get messy. But what I tell them is that if they want a career where they can enjoy what they do, where they will work hard, but they will actually get paid to work hard, and that they will make enough money so that they do not have to worry about paying for their children's college. They do not have to worry about what retirement looks like. They don't have to live check to check. And it sometimes takes a few years after high school for people to appreciate every single one of those things.
What do you like best about your job?
Okay, so what I like best about the job I have now, which is training director for our program, is I get to offer people the experience or their version of the experience that I had. We work heavily with teachers and with counselors so that we are creating advocates in the school systems. I mean, it's our job to protect the health of the nation, but we need folks to advocate for us. Otherwise, we're going to keep seeing the shortage, and it's a shortage that grows every year. We're not closing that gap unless we start bringing in more people.
Thanks for listening to The Big Take from Bloomberg News. I'm Sarah Holder. Today's episode was produced by Alex Ubiura and Thomas Liu. It was edited by Aaron Edwards and Caitlin Kenny. It was mixed by Veronica Rodriguez. It was fact-checked by Naomi Ng. Our senior producers are Naomi Shaven and Elizabeth Ponso. Nicole Beemsterboer is our executive producer. Sage Bauman is head of podcasts. We'll be back with you on Monday.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.